So now let's talk about what you do outside of, you know, being queer. You are a gardener. You have a platform dedicated to talking about gardening and all the things. First of all, how did you get into that?
Yeah, it actually started with, like, I've always been interested in taking care of plants, but, you know, the little school assignments, you get that little one seed, watch it grow type thing, and that just sparked my interest early on. But my mom would kill it. Like, she was bad. Like, my grandmother used to tell her, you got a purple thumb, like, leave my plants alone, is what she used to tell me. So,
what's up, everybody, and welcome to the Queerly Black Show. I'm your host, Ashley, and I'm so happy you came by. The Queerly Black Show aims to normalize the everyday existence of Black LGBTQIA+ individuals through an interview-style series with regular folks like you and me. So every week, a new guest shares their story and unique perspective on their existence as an LGBTQIA+ individual. Thank you for tuning in, and make sure you subscribe, download, set your reminders to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to another episode of the Queerly Black Show. I'm your host, Ashley. I'm joined today by a very special guest, someone who has supported the show for so many years, from way back in the day when I didn't have my stuff together. Trenice, thank you so much. Tell the people about yourself.
Hey, I'm Trenice. I'm out of Nashville, Tennessee. I rep the South hard. And I garden, and heavy in the tree conservation world, as well as agriculture. So I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me, Ashley.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. And just like we do on every episode, we got to go way back to the beginning. When did you know you liked the ladies?
Oof. Listen, it's a long-term listener. I've been like preparing myself on how to answer that, and I still ain't came up with an answer. You know what's crazy is I'm very new to acting on my desires, but I became aware of it a long time ago. I say as early as like late elementary that I had an interest in the ladies. So yeah, that's my short answer.
So acting on your desire, meaning, so you knew from that early on, but I'm assuming just more in more recent time, got
dating,
what, a girlfriend,
and
started
that.
Dating and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Publicly. Yeah.
Got you. So let's talk about that. So you were elementary, you see a cute girl, you're like, oh man, I might like the little
yeah.
ladies.
And you know, it starts off real light. You know, yeah. You like certain things about a person, but in a different way than maybe the same, the opposite gender. So where other people was like, "Ooh, that's my boyfriend." I never got to that point. I ain't even want to give people Valentine's Day cards, to be real with you. like I was very particular with certain things and quirks about girls in my class that I just used to gravitate to. And couldn't really put a title to it. But then you fast forward to high school and you notice other things, you know, everybody's developing, and your attraction starts to hit like a little different. And people like, you ain't got no boyfriend, you know. And I went through that phase of like posing. I think many people do, with my background, being in like a religious background, Southern Baptist and that type of thing. But man, at some point you just gotta own it and be like, this is what it is. And yeah. I'm not going to deprive myself.
Yeah. So you from Nashville, Tennessee, repping the South. Obviously, you know, a lot of I'm from Jersey, but my, you know, my grandmother, family, everybody's from the South. And so yeah. We all kind of come from that more that religious. Most Black people have some level of that religious you know, striking in their background. Talk about that. Because you still live in Tennessee. And so, you know, your journey, being queer in Nashville, obviously, with church and just like your mindset going through navigating your feelings. Plus, I'm sure going to church every week, every couple times a week. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, and ironically enough, I wasn't falling in there every week. You know, I went through different phases throughout my childhood where my mom was one of those people that really preached, you know, where one or two people are talking about the Bible you have in church. So a lot of times that would be my church, but you are limited to the frame of reference of people in the room. You know, if they're not pro just anything outside of what they believe, you're going to face a lot of adversity, a lot of pushback. And that teaches you early on when you sit in amongst that, like, yo, I don't need to touch on that because that's going to cause a rift, or that's going to cause, you know, the spotlight to be on me in a way that I'm not ready for. But for me personally, I just have been very much so intentional about following what makes me feel good. And so I'm still a believer, but I just believe differently. I believe that there's a God that loves all people, all walks of life, and any God that goes against that, I'm not willing to follow, because that's the first person I came out to who already knew what I was, who I was, how I was created. And I still believe in, you know, being in the likeness of his, her, it being in an image. So that's kind of where I am. And I just encourage people to like own that part of you. Everybody got something unique about them that makes them them. And if that very thing is what you need to be expressing as a part of your life, like, you need to do that, because you're robbing somebody else out of the human experience that may be looking for the answer that nobody else can give, you know? Yeah, so that's been my journey, and that's where I'm at now, just being more spiritually grounded, less religious.
Yeah. What, how were the conversations with your mom?
They're odd sometimes, but, you know, I can see her being open a little bit more than what she used to be. Because there's a lot of things that used to be very hurtful that got said, but now it's like we got to own the fact that as a part of our journey, if we're going to keep these people around, that's going to also be a part of their journey in responding to you. And so we gotta own giving grace in areas where it needs to be given, and then also implementing boundaries. We don't talk about anything.
Oh, 100%. There you go. Yeah. So one more question on that. So like, the very first question, right? Because I know there's people who listen to the show and they might have not had that first conversation with their mom, who they're afraid to say, you know, hey, mom, this is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Do you remember that first conversation that you had with her, or was it a conversation? Did you write her a letter? Did you text her? How did that go?
Look, I'm going to keep it clean, because my first response was a curse word and a half, but I remember it. And it wasn't just with my mom. I had it all at once with my entire immediate family. And it was
overwhelming. You set everybody down, Thanksgiving style?
Bet. You bring up Thanksgiving as a joke, but it was literally like, you know, the next day. Yeah, wow. It was literally like the next day. Because we were supposed to get together for Thanksgiving and ran into an issue where I just kind of went through this phase of being comfortable with walking away for the first time in my life, because I felt like I was living a life that was not the way I felt I was designed to live it. And even at the approval of this God that everybody say hates gays and hates this, that, and the third. And so I was like, yo, I'm in some way holding y'all higher in regard than the God I claim I serve. And that got to stop. So I had the conversation all at once, and everybody received it surprisingly well. My brother was in the background like, hey, you know, congrats. So he came out like happy coming out. But it was after the tears, man, after the tears. Mm-hmm. But my mom's still navigating. I think she's doing the best she can with what information she has. And it's actually surprisingly going a lot better than what I expected.
Yeah, that's what's up. I think that's always tough, you know, navigating parent conversations, and even just like as you get older, it kind of like there's new things that come up and new conversations that you, even with the boundaries, like you don't talk about it all the time, but then there's like those pivotal points where you got to bring up certain things and you're like, all right, mom, we got to talk about
this. I don't
think
we've hit too many pivotal points just yet, just because I am still like a very private person in my personal life. But like, I don't know, I just kind of approach it day by day, minute by minute. And right now, I think we're mostly in the correction phase of that's cool to say, that's not, you know, figuring out where that line is.
The right language. Totally. So you dating now?
Oh yeah, I've been dating for years. Now I came out to them long after.
Okay, so but you was dating like in kind of like in private, kind of keeping it to yourself more so.
Yeah.
In dating, what does it look like now? Like, I mean, how were the conversations before in terms of like, did you tell people that you were dating like, hey, I'm not out, or
early
like
on.
You know, I'm not, you know, comfortable with certain things, or and now are those conversations different? Like, you kind of ready to go full steam ahead?
Yeah, early on, I'm one of those people that's very honest from jump. Like, if I only want one thing, I'm gonna say that. If I only, you know, I'm in this space, I'm gonna say that. So nobody's ever confused. But that part of me that was not out, yeah, I was very open because I understand, like, in this community that we're in, like, people are either okay with that or they're not, and that's okay, right?
Yeah.
But to answer your question, more recently, I actually loved a person, you know, more than what I did any others. So everybody else is just kind of like, it's cool, I'm just out here having fun, you know. But that kind of hit close to being what I feel would have fallen into stating that I'm in love with someone. It didn't get to that point because I'm very open. I'm like, yo, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. But the next person, it may very well change, right? So the conversations have changed. And now that I'm out, it's a little bit easier. But at first, it was very hard because a lot of people are just like, yo, own it. Or everybody has to come out. And that's just not the case. Like, you don't have to come out if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But you also can't rob people out of the experience they envision having with their spouse. And so those conversations used to look like, hey, this is what it is. You know, if you have the capacity to serve in this capacity or go in this journey with me, great. If not, I move on to the next. But now I'm 30, like I'm trying to settle down. You know, I'm trying to have what I envision is settling down, not necessarily the home and the picket fence, but somebody to roll with and journey with. So the conversation is different and I've had a change of heart. Like, I'm not as hard or as closed off as I used to be with people that I was dating. You may experience true intimacy on this side now,
right?
Versus before, because your girl was cold. But somebody, that last one broke me a little bit. I was like, I got feelings.
There's a heart in there.
I got feelings, bro. I got feelings.
There's a heart in there.
Yeah.
No, I got this ice box where my heart is.
Yeah, hey. I'm so cold.
No, I love it. No, that's dope, man. And I wish you the best on your dating journey. I'm obviously old and married, but I hear it's crazy out here. I hear it's crazy out here. So my heart goes out to you, and I believe that you'll find your person and you'll be, you know, on your way. So
that's why I told my family just today. I was like, listen, my person's out there. Okay. 100%. I'm gonna just be walking one day and they're gonna recognize me because they in one with themselves, and we're gonna recognize each other through the God that we serve, right? And it's gonna be one of the moments where we're gonna be like, we can't pass each other up. That's how it's gonna happen. I'm convinced. That part.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you do, I need to just be on like the, you know what I'm saying?
I got you. You reserved. It's some folks,
it's like,
that,
hey, have man, been, it's happened.
Yeah. It's some folks that's been pivotal in my journey indirectly. Don't even know it. You definitely one of those people. So
I appreciate it, man.
You reserved it on that list for sure.
I appreciate it, family. I appreciate it. So now let's talk about what you do outside of you know, being queer. You are a gardener.
Yeah.
You have a platform dedicated to talking about gardening and all the things. First of all, how did you get into that?
Yeah, it actually started with, like, I've always been interested in taking care of plants, but, you know, the little school assignments, you get that little one seed, watch it grow type thing. And that just sparked my interest early on. But my mom would kill it. Like, she was bad. Like, my grandmother used to tell her, you got a purple thumb, like, leave my plants alone, is what she used to tell me. So fast forward years later, we ran into a little health scare where we had just cleaned our diet up and really changed some stuff. And so I was like, listen, it's too costly to be buying fresh produce, and then it's not really that fresh. Things are being altered and adjusted, so let's just grow it. And I did that, and that was back in like 2015, and started with container gardening, and then it went to bay window, then it went to container garden outside, raised beds, and the whole nine. And I just was self-taught, and that's how I got started, really.
That's dope, man. Yeah. That's dope. So what's some of your favorite things that you like to grow?
Oh, anything sweet, like tomatoes, watermelons. Definitely watermelons, because it's a challenge. Anybody know, them things do not grow if they don't want to. You got to give them the right type of soil. And so that's been the biggest thing I've been working on, is just making sure my melons get the full size. And it finally did during the pandemic. And we had a live party on my Instagram, a tasting party and everything. It was a big shebang. And then I also like to grow like snap peas and stuff. I feel like it's a good starter plant for anybody looking to start up in the growing field.
So that's what I want to talk about, because I can't grow nothing.
Yeah, you can. I believe in you.
Listen, man.
Listen, my mom when was I a purple you, thumb. She grows now. I got you.
When I tell you, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a clue. I'll be like, look dry. Let me put some water in it.
Yeah.
It need to look like it need a little sun. Let me put it. See? Like, I'm out here just living wrong, man.
Sound so like let's talk about.
Yeah, I'm for sure I'm an overwaterer. I already know that. Talk about, okay, so me and your mom, we was in the same category. I'm still where your mom used to be. People out there that's like, I really wanna, I don't, this is not an intentional thing, right? Like, I'm not trying to kill this stuff. I'm just not great, right? So let's talk about, like, I think one of the more popular ones, because I'm more of a, like, trendy planter or okay. You know, so like a money tree is like a popular one more recently, right? Those don't need a lot of water at all. Like, you, I think, need a few ice cubes, yeah. And that's it.
Good.
And that's it, right? Do they need sun? Do they need shade? Talk to me.
Yeah. So I don't know what you're growing over there. If the money plant is working, this is what I tell everybody. Everybody's not meant to grow their own food.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a big push for that, you know, but reality is. Yeah, if that money tree is working, listen, just manifest attracting more money so you can get more money plants, right? And maybe stick to that same family of plants. You know, look up the family that plant is in, and then just stick to that, because some about you are able to grow there. But listen, if you can't keep some alive, it's okay. Just go on to the next thing. So some people are only supposed to grow like succulents. You're not supposed to be growing melons, you know.
But succulents is like dry plants, right?
Like, yeah, like
basically
the aloe
something
and all
that survive
that.
In the desert.
Hey, but listen, so aloe is useful.
It is.
Aloe is useful.
She said,
and listen,
you just need to grow something that don't require nothing.
Yeah, don't require nothing. And takes, listen, hundreds of years to grow an arm. So did you know that? Like, every time you see a cactus with more than one arm, it probably took 100 to 200 years for it to grow that arm.
Oh, wow.
And that's a testament to like how nature speaks to us, and that don't rush your time. Like, you're not on the same timeline as everybody else. Some things are designed to mature within time. And a cactus is one of those things you can look at as evidence of that. But to answer your question, because I'll be getting sidetracked. you know, the first thing you need definitely is light. And you need to decide rather now you want to just start from seed and see that journey through with that plant, because it's a lot, or just go get a freaking transplant from Lowe's, Home Depot. You know, if you got a co-op, that's probably your best bet to getting the most freshest one. And then try to get the sunlight it needs. A lot of things fall between 6 to 8 hours of the sunlight needed. It's a soft spot. Now, anything that says full sun is going to be more than 8 hours. So you just kind of pay attention to the tag. And then the thing with watering, because that's the like number one reason things die, pick up the container it's in. If it's heavy, it's enough water in there. If it's light, like you can just bounce it around and the soil starting to come up with it, listen, it's too dry. Give it some water, you know, and then wait like a week out and pick it up again and see if it's lighter. And you may even be able to kind of pull it out and see where it's drying out at on the soil level and know from there. But just start doing basic stuff like that, getting familiar with what it feels like when it has enough water and what it doesn't. And then also look on the surface and see if it's dry, you know. Yeah. Take your finger, poke down and see about 2 to 3 inches down. If it's too dry, you need to give it a little water.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good note, because I'm telling you, man.
I believe you, because you said it confidently. You were
I'll
be killing
it. I'll be killing this stuff. I'm just honest, you know. We just gotta be honest about it. So then my next question about that is, so like, let's say, for example, because like I got a plant right now that's on my porch, and like a couple of the leaves, it's a big plant. It's not like, it's a pretty big one, like in a big pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like a few of the leaves are more exposed to the sun than the rest of the plant itself. So like they got
Turn
burnt
it.
off. So just keep turning it.
Yeah, you can
Okay.
turn it. Yeah, you can
Yeah.
turn it. Like try to even out the sunlight exposure.
Yeah.
And then if it's getting like too baked, you may want to try to find another spot for it. But if it seems happy, like you're not seeing any leaves fall, turning color, the leaf foliage or anything, then you know that's a pretty happy plant. But when you start noticing that, it's something there that's stressing it out. You know, it could be bugs, it could be the sun, but it sounds like it may be the sun if you send me
Yeah,
some
because
photos.
it's just a piece like that's kind of leaning off the porch that gets more sun than the rest of it.
Yeah,
That's
just
like a
turn
little burnt.
it.
So yes,
That's all you
turn
gotta
it.
do.
Okay. Yeah.
Ashley, can't be lazy. You just gotta turn it.
Listen,
Look,
man,
you
I'll
don't
just
know
be
what you
like,
don't
oh
know.
shit. I'll just cut it off and then
Hey,
but
you're not
okay, I'm gonna
alone in
turn it.
that.
I'm gonna turn it. I'm gonna turn it. I'm gonna turn it.
I've
I'm gonna turn
snipped
it.
stuff too. You're
Yeah.
not alone in that.
I'm gonna turn it. All right, man, that's what's up. So for you, what do you feel like is next as far as your gardening journey? Do you own a nursery? Or are you going to own a nursery? Or kind of what's the
I don't
plan?
know. That's a good question. I know I want land, but I don't know if I want to run it like a business. So anybody that's been following my journey thus far know that I started educationally. Like it was just me picking up the camera and bringing people along in my gardening journey because I felt like it was other people who probably didn't have resources or anybody around them to help them in theirs. So I was like, let's all just make this trial and error along the way together. And it turned into me doing tours on farms and other gardening, other gardener spaces and showing people how to really maximize their harvest within their current space so that everybody knows they have the capacity to grow whatever it is they need rather than waiting until you get land, which is not for everybody. But for me personally, I want land. I want to secure my stake on this turf before I go anywhere else and like make sure that I have demos on that land and can really bring in the livestock to do my own like raising, you know, meat chickens, egg layers, the whole nine, and teach people how to do that. So that's my thing. Anybody want a homestead long term, that's what I'm looking to do and teach people how to do that.
That's what's up. That's
Yeah.
dope. That's
Yeah.
dope, man. That's dope. That's dope. All right, I want to fast fire some questions. We're
All
gonna just
right.
do a this or that real quick, and then we're gonna get up out of here. So, vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Yes, sir. Lipstick or chapstick?
Chapstick.
Sports bra or real bra?
It depends on the situation, but sports bra.
Sports or spa day?
Sports.
$1 million or 850 credit score?
850. I can get that big.
Yeah, that part. A truck or a sports car?
Struck.
Dry it or iron it?
Iron it.
Thank you for saying that because people be getting on here saying dry it, and I'd be like, bruh, come on now. Hey, man, I really appreciate you coming through. Any last words of advice for someone who may be on their own queer journey?
Take your time. It's yours to own. You can't mess up. And when it gets confusing, look inward because that's the part of you that's, you know, maybe a little delayed if you're looking for other people for answers. Look inward, man. Pull out that journal and ask yourself all the questions you wish you could ask someone and then work through those answers in time, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, thank you so much, Shanice, for coming through. I appreciate you sharing some time and your story with us today. And y'all already know, man, this is another episode of the Queerly Black Show. I'm your host, Ashley. I'll catch y'all on the next one. Peace.
Hey.